Today's reading is taken from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6 and 28 to 44. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, Miranda. And Rob's going to come up now.
Hello. I'm Rob. You don't know. So, these last few weeks we've been following a series on encounters that Jesus had, and the one we're looking at today, as you can see, and as you've just so wonderfully heard, read by Miranda, is the raising of Lazarus. Now, what's interesting about the raising of Lazarus is that it's not the only resurrection in the Bible, as I'm sure we all know. In the Old Testament, we have Elisha and Elijah. They both resurrected people in the books of Kings. And in Acts, both Peter and Paul did some resurrections. But of course, the man we want to talk about is Jesus. And he resurrected 3 people, 4, if you include himself, which I assume we all should. So Jesus resurrected 4 people. The big one, his own resurrection, right at the end. But for this, we want to focus on one question particularly, and that is, why is it important that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Particularly at the time when this was written, okay? Because this was the last miracle performed in the Gospel of John before Jesus' ultimate death and resurrection. So the last thing which John talks about in his gospel before he goes on to the whole Jesus dying, etc., it is the rising of Lazarus. And it's notable among theologians for being what's called the final sign in John's gospel. In John's gospel, there's what's called 7 signs. And essentially, these signs are just miracles. I say just miracles like they're just something that happens. But they are. They're 7 quite big miracles in the Gospel of John. And they start off fairly tame for a miracle, shall we say. We have water into wine, and they get progressively bigger, progressively more important. Jesus starts healing people. He starts feeding the 5,000. And then at the end of these seven signs, we have the big one. We have raising someone from the dead, which is what we heard in the reading. The people were talking about Lazarus, and they said, this man who was able to stop people from being blind, couldn't he just have kept Lazarus from being dead? Little did they know that that's exactly what Jesus was going to go on and do. So I think, to our big question, why is it important that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? We can come up with one fairly simple answer, but three real reasons as to why it is important. But before we begin, I have something to confess to you all. And I confess this as a proud Northerner, indeed, as a proud Yorkshireman. Because in the last few weeks, I've done something truly horrendous as one of those two people. I've done something which, dare I say, is a little bit southern. I had to cancel going to work because of the weather. And it was awful. Here's a picture. There's me, clearly struggling, trying to get through the snow to work. That's gone. There it is. It was awful. In total, I missed 4 days of work due to snow. And I quite enjoy work. I quite like being a teacher. So it does. After a while, you have your first day, you're like, ooh, this is nice. And then your second day, you're like, oh, this is great. 2 days off work. And then your third day, you're thinking, all right, this is enough. You know, I'm really cold. I'm a bit grouchy now. And then when the fourth day comes, the week after, you're like, what's the point? Maybe we should just quit work. And this made me quite angry. It didn't just make me angry. In a staff meeting, my head teacher said, and I quote, I officially hate snow, which is quite odd, because I also found myself agreeing with him. I also hate snow. I have really angry feelings towards snow, which is really weird, because what is snow if not just really cold water? And that's just a weird thing to get angry about. And I felt, am I a bad person for feeling angry? Am I bad for having this anger inside me towards snow? Which is why I felt somewhat comforted when I was reading the Bible, when I was reading through these passages. And in my Bible, instead of saying Jesus was deeply troubled, as it does in the versions that we've heard, it said, in my Bible, Jesus had a deep anger towards what was happening. So if Jesus can get angry, maybe it's okay for me to get angry, is what I was thinking. Obviously, there's a big difference here. There's a big difference in what's causing the emotion in Jesus as opposed to what's causing the emotion within me. Because I was getting angry at essentially the inconvenience of not being able to get to work and not being able to do my job. Whereas Jesus is angry at the circumstance. He's troubled. He doesn't like the circumstance that's happening to this man, his friend. Lazarus, as we can tell from what it says there, comes from a family who love Jesus. We know Mary and Martha from throughout the gospel, and they are a family who have real faith in Jesus. In parts of the story, it says that Martha says to Jesus that I believe in you, I believe that you will bring me eternal life. And that is something that the disciples, the 12 people who walked around with him all the time, didn't get until he died. So he's got this emotion within him. And it's seen really in the shortest verse in the Bible in English translation, John 11:35, Jesus wept. And that's such a powerful little verse. Jesus is overcome by the emotion of what's happened to his friend Lazarus, that he cries. And that is a very human emotion. And that's what's really, really interesting about this story, is that he has this outpouring of love, this expression of great humanity. It's a moment where we see him not just as the Son of God, but as a human, a person like us. And at the end of the day, what this story tells us is that Jesus loved his friend and he was sad to see him go. And he was worth coming out of hiding. What was happening just before this? The Pharisees had been able to get Jesus running away, essentially, from Judea, from Jerusalem. And they're a bit, and his disciples, they've all followed him, but they hear of Lazarus being ill. And as we see, Jesus decided to wait. But ultimately, Lazarus was worth coming out of hiding, coming to Jerusalem to see him, to mourn for him, and eventually to heal him and raise him. Indeed, Thomas says in John 11, verse 16, Doubting Thomas, we all love Doubting Thomas, he says, "Let us go and die with Jesus." So convinced is he that going back to Jerusalem is going to get them all killed. They're thinking, well, we'll go do it because we quite like you, Jesus. We'll go along. But ultimately, they believe that going back to Jerusalem is condemning Jesus and condemning themselves. And that shows just how much love that Jesus has for Lazarus, because he's worth dying for. And we've heard that quite a lot of times when we talk about Jesus. Essentially, he provided healing for his friend and followers, more like he often does for us. And this is a very, very simple answer to the question, is that Jesus resurrected Lazarus because he loved him. And by extension, the love that he has for us. But this leaves us with a bit of a further question where we want to find out more about why did Lazarus die and why was he the one that Jesus chose to resurrect? Because let's be honest, people die. People that Jesus knew and loved will have died at this point. So what made Lazarus so, quote-unquote, important for him to be the one chosen to be raised? And this is where we come to what I think are three reasons why Lazarus was the one to be chosen to be raised. Your first one is to convince the people that are around him that he, Jesus, is the Son of God. Because despite the fact that Jesus has been going along doing loads of amazing miracles, some people, quite a lot of people, still aren't that convinced in the power of Jesus and in the power of God through Jesus. Second one is to prove that he has power over death. So we've seen in the Bible, in the signs so far, that he can heal people. That's fine. That's okay. They want a big thing. They want something really remarkable, showing that he has power over death. And essentially, and this comes from a more modern perspective, to show that Jesus can use us in our weakness. And we'll get to that in a bit. So, our first point. Jesus is the Son of God made flesh. So, we've already seen how Jesus experienced true human emotion for the passing of his friend, which, for us looking over the narrative with our biblical knowledge, is a clear indication of how human Jesus is. But at the time, the observers who saw what was happening would not really be concerned with how human Jesus is. They would be concerned with how godlike he is, because they can see him there as a man. But for us, we look back on the Bible knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. Those people there, they don't. They just see a man, a human, and they want to know, why is he special? And really, it's explicitly explained why Lazarus was raised by Jesus in the Bible, in this story. John 11:14 says, "I am glad I was not there, for now you will truly believe." So he's saying this to his disciples. His disciples were already starting to think, ooh, shouldn't you have gone there, Lord, to help him out? And he's like, nah, it's all right. I'm quite glad that we let him die, because now you thickos who've been following me, now you're going to properly believe in what I'm telling you, because I'm going to show you something really quite amazing. John 11:40 says a similar thing. "Didn't I tell you that you would see if you believe?" And again, in 11:42, "You always hear me, but I say it out loud for the benefit of all these people here, that they will believe you sent me." So he's praying to God here and saying, "You always hear me, God. I'm really shouting this out in front of a group of people because they don't believe that I'm the Son of God. And by me talking to you in this way and healing this man, my friend Lazarus, they will believe that I really am your son." So, fundamentally, we've got Jesus saying, these guys still need convincing. But we do find Christians in different places in their walk with Jesus nowadays. We do find that nowadays people still need convincing. And so, similarly, we can assume that back then, the crowds would have been in different places of their belief. You'd have had the Marys and Marthas who truly, fundamentally believed in in Jesus being the Son of God. You'd have had the disciples who really were very pro-Jesus, shall we say. They loved Jesus, but they hadn't quite properly understood what Jesus' message was. And then finally, you'll have had groups of people who will have heard about Jesus being quite a big deal, but just not really knowing what that deal is. And so Jesus is here showing them through raising a man from the dead deal. He's the biggest deal. He's the Son of God. So reading through this story today, we can clearly see that Jesus has a connection with God the Father and is therefore the perfect bridge between us as humanity and God. Now, our second point is Jesus has power over death. As we mentioned, this is the last sign that John writes of. And, let's be honest, it's the most impressive. Sure, it's one thing to turn water into wine. Sure, it's one thing to feed loads of people. But then, whoa, this man was dead, and now he's not dead. He's alive. That is really quite amazing. And it shows us Jesus' power at its absolute greatest, showing us fundamentally that he has power over death. And, you know, it's kind of obvious, isn't it, when you read through the Bible, Jesus having power over death. See it when he does it in resurrection. He dies, and he's like, nope, I'm alive again. Hi, guys. But what this story does is something a little bit more than that. Rather than just raising himself, he's raising someone else. And this is showing not just that Jesus has power over death for himself, it's showing the observers and it's showing us today that Jesus has power over death for all of us, not just himself. And so this, by showing his power in the raising of Lazarus, it's intricately linked to the promise of eternal life. Okay, so by raising Lazarus, he's showing us that he can conquer death for everyone. And that is our promise, that we will live in eternity with him. Now, additionally, and what makes this even more impressive for the observers at the time, in Jewish mourning customs, there are usually 3 days of pretty intense mourning. The conclusion of this is where it's assumed and believed that the soul leaves the body. Now, if we remember, Jesus decides to wait before leaving where he was to go to Bethany. He arrives in Bethany 4 days after Lazarus has died. So, for Jewish mourning customs and for the belief about the soul in Judaism, of which obviously everyone was, they believe the soul is gone. There's no longer a link between the dead body and the soul. So for Jesus to be able to come and raise this body, which is completely and utterly dead, is showing that he has power over death that even the Jewish people at the time could not possibly have imagined. Because, sure, maybe it's acceptable to, when in between 3 days, Jews would think, that's fine. Okay, that makes sense, because the soul's not properly left, so it can still come back. But 4 days, that's the line. That's too much. That's God being ultimately God at that point. He's showing he's got amazing power. And this links back to the anger that we spoke of. Not my anger at snow, but Jesus' anger at death, because we see him feeling anger at the power of death, the authority that death has over us as humans. And he's thinking, no, I'm not having this. I don't like this. I don't like that after 3 days, death has its grip on us and it can't let go. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to raise people back to life and I'm going to give them the eternal life that I have promised them. It's not clear for Jews at this point that Jesus has authority over death until he does this, until he takes death, which has taken a man completely, entirely. It says that you don't want to go in there. It will smell of death and decay. It will be really smelly because he's been dead for so long. But Jesus is going in and he's raising men anyway, because he's got that ultimate power of the death over death. And Bruce Milne says, the greater the challenge, the greater the miracle. Okay? And that's a slightly separate point, but still relevant. This is Jesus showing how much power he's got, right? Sure, I could raise him after 3 days, but that's what people expect. I'm going to do it after 4 days. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. People aren't going to see it coming. And suddenly, this man who was dead isn't dead. And it's fantastic. Which comes to our third point. Jesus uses us in our weakness. So, what we can learn from the first two points is that whilst Jesus did do this amazing miracle, he did raise his friend because obviously he loved his friend, he did it for another reason as well. He was using it, essentially, to make a point about himself, about how he was the Son of God, and about how he had this amazing power over death. Both Mary and Martha say, when Jesus comes to them, "If you were here, he would not have died." Which again, as we say, shows that their belief in his power and in his message. But it's clear that Jesus always had a different plan. In John 11:11, he says before he goes off to Lazarus, he says, "Our friend has fallen asleep, and now I will go and wake him." Okay, so he's saying this around the time that Lazarus is dying. If we assume it takes him about a 4 days walk from where he is to where he's going, that's his plan. He's planned this out. He knows what's going to happen. He knows when he dies, because he's God. He knows that he needs to go to Bethany to see Lazarus at this point. And everything is working in the way that he wants it to. It's not the way that Mary and Martha want it to. It's probably not the way that Lazarus would have wanted it to be honest. I wouldn't want to die and then be raised. I'd rather he just healed me first. But this is the way that Jesus wants it to happen, because he's got to make those two incredibly important points. He's got to show the people that he's the Son of God. He's got to show the people that he has this ultimate power over death. For those first two points to be effective, Lazarus has to die. If Jesus was there as Mary and Martha would want him to and healed him, he couldn't do that. You just couldn't do that. So to show that he's the Son of God and that he has this ultimate power over death, Jesus needed to bring Lazarus back. So if we link this to our own lives now, we're all affected by pain and suffering. We're all affected by death. We're all affected by losing someone. We're all affected by something awful happening to us, to our family members. We all know this happened to me recently with my dad, falling quite ill, not dying. Nice one, Dad. But awful things happen to us. We look at the news, awful things happen all over the world. But Jesus can use all of these things for the better. In the case of Lazarus, Lazarus died. But he used this to show us, to show the people there, to show us today the eternal promise of eternal life. The promise that will never end. The promise that he has for each and every one of us. It's a clear example of Jesus using a person at a time of weakness, because let's be honest, you may be weak, but you're not dead weak. And he's using this weakness in a way that is absolutely amazing, providing every single one of us, people who have faith, that we have that promise of eternal life. And this reminds me of a quote from Mike Pilvacci and Andy Croft in the book Everyday Supernatural, which I would recommend if you can grab a copy of it. And it says this: "If God can use a dead man, then he can use us," which is quite touching for us. No matter what's going on in our lives, God can use that. No matter what pain and suffering we're experiencing, God can use that. If not for us, he can use it for other people. And I think that's something really that we should try to remember. No matter what's happening in our lives, God is with us. God is there using us. We may not understand why. Lazarus probably didn't know why he died, but we can be confident that God will be able to use that for us. It's not for us to know. So to summarize, why was Lazarus the one raised? It was to prove to us that Jesus is the Son of God, to prove to us that Jesus has power over death, and to show us that Jesus uses us in our weakness. All three of these points are fundamentally wrapped up
in the love that Jesus had for Lazarus and by extension each and every single one of us. Because the key to the story of Lazarus is the promise that if we have faith in Jesus, we will receive eternal life through him. Because Jesus can conquer death, as he did here, and he will do that for each and every one of us. Amen.